Welcome to Inside the Studio, presented by iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Joe Levy. All right, little bit of a change this time around. We are welcoming two guests to this episode of the home edition of the show, Bebe Rexha and her dog, Bear, who makes a brief appearance. And if it's too brief for you, Bear Rexha does have her own Instagram, which is how I know she really, really likes vanilla milkshakes. As for Bebe, well, I know she's a really, really talented hit maker, able to write a number one hip-hop single with Eminem and also write and perform a number one country single with Florida Georgia Line. Her duet Meant to Be with Florida Georgia Line was just 2 weeks shy of spending an entire year at the top of Billboard's country singles chart. I mean, this woman has range. And she told our quarantine correspondent, Jordan Runtog, all about the very autobiographical origins of her new single with Doja Cat, Baby, I'm Jealous. The home edition of Inside the Studio is all about letting you into the creative lives of musicians during lockdown. Bebe has been recording from the comfort of her couch, vocals for what sounds like a really personal album that explores her life, her insecurities, and how she's dealt with them. Also, when she gives the pro tip to stay hydrated during times of stress, listen up, because this woman speaks the truth, and I say this as somebody with a glass of water in his hand. As always, if you enjoy this episode, be sure to check out the iHeartRadio podcast that Jordan hosts. It's called Rivals, Music's Greatest Feuds, and it is available wherever you get your shows.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jordan Runtog, but enough about me. Well, what can I say about my guest today? She's a bona fide pop goddess. She started out writing hits for Selena Gomez, Nick Jonas, and the Eminem-Rihanna duet Monster. Then she stepped into the spotlight on her own with hits like Me, Myself, and I, and In the Name of Love. Meant to Be, her collaboration with Florida Georgia Line, was recently certified Diamond, and now she's dropping a new single, Baby, I'm Jealous, featuring Doja Cat. As a track off her upcoming second album. It was ready for release earlier this year, but she's waiting, to use her words, until the world is a better place. And she's certainly doing her part. She's a beacon for body positivity, an outspoken advocate for mental health, and I can't be happier that she's here with us right now. Bebe Rexha, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you, Jordan.
It's so funny doing these shows over Zoom because it always feels like we're just like dropping into people's homes. How are you today? What have you been up to?
Nothing. I woke up. I walked my dog. She comes with me for my coffee run.
Oh, how's Bear doing?
She's good. We got coffee together today. And then I worked out. I did a little workout. And I just had some lunch. And then after this, I'm going to go buy some pumpkin candles. I want to make my house smell like
fall. Yes.
I just went on Amazon the other day and I bought so much Halloween decorations. It's not normal.
Oh my God. Big Halloween. What's your favorite Halloween costume you've ever dressed up as?
I think I was literally Superman 1 year when I was like,
I think I was like eight.
No, Bear, don't bark. Sorry, she might bark throughout. She's kind of like spoiled, my dog. So she may bark throughout the interview. But my favorite Halloween costume I've ever been is Superman, not Superwoman. It's so funny. I think my mom has a picture of it. Or was it Superwoman? I don't know. Was that? And I never really had another, like, I never had like an incredible Halloween costume. I'm always kind of, I love decorating the house more than anything. And like giving away candy, but I'm never good at like, I don't know, I just don't have patience for it to like get ready for 3 hours of face makeup and stuff.
I mean, yeah, I feel like, especially when your day job is getting out there and dressing up and everything and performing, I can imagine like doing that on your own time is like, no, I really don't feel like doing this right now.
It's like, yeah, I'm gonna be the natural me today. Yeah, I don't like sitting in hair and makeup for like 3 hours. I hate it. But I like feeling pretty though and getting ready, you know? That's why I go for the Halloween costumes like a mask or something like that or something you could just throw on.
Well, I have so many things I'm so excited to talk to you about today. First and foremost, your new song, Baby, I'm Jealous. I love it. I've been humming it all day. It's about those times when jealousy turns you into a social media sleuth, which, you know, when you're creeping on your partner's Instagram likes, and we've all been there. Tell me about where that song came from.
I was dating someone and a guy, and I got onto one of those crazy, weird, like the deep dive. Which I'm like usually okay, but I had one of those days where you feel a little insecure or whatever, you know, just like, I don't know, like human, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
I like went on the Instagram and then I saw like this same girl comment, like leave hearts, like, you know, like kissy faces. And like, it was just on every picture. And I was like, So I like went on her page, was just looking at her pictures, and I see that the guy that I was dating was like liking every one of her pictures, but it was the ones that were she was like half naked in her like bikini photos that I was kind of like, that's kind of like, I don't know, everybody has their own like boundaries and rules for Instagram and social media, but I didn't like that. So I literally told him, I was like, if it's your friends or something like that, totally fine. But like when they're like not really dressed, it makes me feel a little uncomfortable. And like, especially if they're leaving comments on your pages, it just doesn't make me, I don't like it. Like, this is the rule for me. These are the rules for me. And he was like, yeah. And he was like, okay.
It's good to be open
and then, like,
about that too.
Fast forward like 2 weeks later, he was still like liking her pictures and it still bothered me. And I was like, now I feel like insecure because I know that they kind of like, I could just tell they liked each other. But he ended up liking these three girls' pictures and they kind of like always go back and forth. It was so obvious, but they all look the same. They were all blonde hair, blue eyes, like super fit, super tall, like model-esque. And I'm like 5'5", dark brown eyes, and not that, you know what I mean? So I got kind of a little insecure and I was like, oh, this sucks. I'm like, this sucks. I'm like, I wish I looked like that. Like, is there something wrong with me? I don't know. Maybe I should buy blue contacts. And then I was like, wait, I'm like going crazy. So I went to the studio and I wrote this song with Justin Tranter. And I was like, I'm just so jealous lately. Like, I wish I could look this certain way, you know? And then it's a song about being jealous. And what we wanted to do with the album is, like, it kind of inspired us. We're like, oh my God, we should totally write an album on, like, insecurities. Because it's, like, totally normal. Like, I know so many people, I've been on a vacation with a couple, literally broke up, but then got back together the next day because they found some shady stuff on Instagram and social media. And I was like, whoa, that was, like, a... So I see every couple always dealing with this. Or I even know a lot of couples who share Instagrams, which is, like, some next level something, but...
Whoa, yeah, the password sharing. I'm not at that place yet, and I've been with my girlfriend for 10 years.
I think it's a trust thing, right? It's like building trust.
Yeah. Oh, no, I.
No, but you can't share your passcode. If you're not sharing your passcode, then what are you hiding?
Nothing. I don't know. It's never been a discussion with us, I should say. But
that's good. That's good.
Also, like, I think we were together for so long before Instagram and everything that maybe that was part of it, too.
It's weird. It's, like, another level of, like, hard, you know? Like, I notice it, especially, like, my younger, like, just, like, people, like, I was just, you know, my band members, like, just hearing the conversations that they have, like, being on tour with everybody, it creates, like, a lot of issues in relationships, social media, it does. Because everything is so much more accessible, where it's, like, you could literally slide into DMs, you know?
Right. You know, I mean, it's so interesting to hear you talk to me about insecurities, because from an outside perspective, you're talented and successful with millions of fans. I mean, do you think, let me put it this way, do you think self-acceptance is a journey or a destination? Is it just something you're always working towards?
Oh, obviously, you know, I feel like, come on, that's the answer to that is it's a journey. Like, you'll never, you know, I think maybe at a certain age, you're just so tired of caring anymore. And you're like, I'm over this. Like, you know, maybe when I'm like 70 or something, but I think it's a journey. And I think that I've learned to, which has made me more secure of myself more than ever now, is to like accept those insecurities or anything that makes me kind of feel, because I kind of like, I didn't like how I was feeling jealous. Like, I wasn't liking it. I was kind of like, why am I getting jealous of these girls? Like, why am I so insecure? And I think it comes from a place of not like like loving yourself or knowing your worth. And I think when you start really being honest with yourself and being like, there's a reason why I'm jealous, like, you know, whatever you want to call it, God or an energy, like, there's a reason why human beings feel jealousy. Like, we're meant to feel it, for it's just part of us, you know what I mean?
There was a line in the song that I kept thinking about. I'm thinking about it all day. It really stuck with me. This is me, a woman in dichotomy. I love me until I don't. Talk to me about the dichotomy that is BB.
I think that, you know, it's funny. Like, I feel like my life is like a dichotomy, right? Like, two things that are opposing each other. So, like, I come from like a very old school Albanian traditional family who, like, they wanted me to find an Albanian guy and probably get married by the time I was 20 and have kids, like, super early, you know? Like, my mom was 16 when she got married. And it's just, like, the culture, right? But here I go, it's, like, the total opposite of that. What did I do? I was from New York and, you know, should have gotten married and had kids by the age I was 20, but then I left for the opposite side of New York, went to the West Coast, to L.A., and went to do to try to be in pop music, which was like, whoa, like, how could you do that? And then I think just dichotomy in the sense of women in general, we have to like be very like pure and virginal, but then we have to be like a freak in the sheets. And I feel like that's like, for me as a woman, in all cases, you know, you love yourself one day, you hate yourself the next. For women, we have a lot of dichotomies, you know, like, we have to be soft, but you know, but still be hard in a sense. And it's like, it's this constant, like, you know, we have to kind of always balance that as females. It's kind of hard, you know?
There are just so many emotional, vulnerable tracks on this record. Was there a song that was for you the most difficult to tackle or the most meaningful?
I think that probably the hardest would be, none of the songs were really hard for me because I feel like I became so, I know there's probably supposed to be an answer for a song, but I became so comfortable with Justin in the room that I asked him to help executive produce the album because I just felt like I could walk in there and be like, Justin, I'm about to get my period, and, like, I'm just losing my mind, and, like, I could just say anything to him, you know? Like, I could just, anything, like, the most insane thing, and I would just say, this is how I'm feeling, and he'd be like, let's put it in a song. And I feel like the process was super therapeutic, and nothing was hard. Everything, I feel like I had already gone through those, like, moments, and then I was just kind of expressing to him how I was feeling, and he was able to, like, make it so seamless into a song. They were, like, really, like, just journals or, like, things that I was really going through. And he makes it so easy to, like, put it into words and music, you know?
Was there a song from the album that represents you most in this moment?
Now I have to look at my track list. There's, like, so many songs. I like Better Mistakes because with Better Mistakes, I think it's funny because in life, like, we all make mistakes, but I feel like, you know, as you get older, you're like, oh, I'll be fine when I, you know, when I get to a certain age, I'll figure it out. But it's like, as you get older, you're like, oh, I'm still trying to figure out, like, how do I do this? You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like I'm making mistakes, but better ones. That's, like, where I'm at in my,
that's where I feel like I'm at in my life.
Like, I'm, you know, so Better Mistakes is interesting. It's, like, very playful, but, like, and meaning-wise, it's like, I'm just making better mistakes as I get older.
You said you're holding the album until the world's a better place, was, I think, the quote you shared. Any updates on when that is?
I know when that is, but I don't know if, like, I'm ready to say when that is or if I'm allowed to yet. I think it's, like, just a bit, like, maybe we're, like, I'm a couple, like, it's a little too early to say, I feel like.
I totally understand.
I wasn't guided to say. Sorry. Everything is so, like, but, you know, I don't want to say either because if I say something and then, God forbid, it changes, my fans get really upset, and I feel like it's been a very long, it's been 2.5 years since I released, like, a project. So it's been really long, or, like, over a year since I've released a song. And with everything going on in the world, I don't want to say, like, because you just never know. God forbid everything goes smoothly and everything is okay and everything gets better.
Oh, absolutely. But you just never understand.
Right? It's hard because everything has changed. You know, interviews are different. Look, we're doing this interview.
It's a weird time anyway.
Zoom. I know we're seeing each other's faces, but we would have probably have done this in person. It's just so much different. Like, you're not feeling people's energies as much, and it's hard, like, when you can't, you know, go on the road and stop at the radio stations and talk to people and you know, eat, like, barbecue food in Texas or whatever, just, you know.
No, I totally understand.
Feel people's energies and do it the proper way.
There's one song I'm really looking forward to hearing, looking forward for your fans to hearing too, Break My Heart Myself. You've shared some lyrics from that where you are very open about your bipolar disorder, referencing the 5.7 million Americans who are also living with bipolar disorder. You first shared your diagnosis last year on Twitter. What made you decide that it was time to open up about that part of your life?
I always felt scared all my life. I feel like I always felt, even when I was younger, I was always scared of, like, going crazy. Like, I was just so scared. I don't know. I think a movie or I had a family member or somebody, they had literally, like, gone crazy, like, mentally unstable, like, unwell, like, and that just scared me. I don't know why. I was just always so scared of it. I just wanted to be normal, and I was just so, I don't know. It was just, like, a weird fear that I had. And, you know, I had gone into the studio with Justin, and I said, I just spoke to my doctor, and they told me that I'm bipolar, and I said, I just, you know, because it takes a second to kind of, like, figure out, like, it takes years to kind of, you know, first things anxiety and depression and you don't know, and then you get manic or in the depressed, and so it takes a second. But I went to see with Justin and I said, I'm so scared of going crazy, and I don't want people to think that I'm crazy or, like, judge me or, like, feel like I could have done more in my life, because a lot of times I feel like in the industry or in life in general, people can really judge you. You know, she's crazy. And especially as a female, you know, they could forget also, like, that you're human in this industry and they could kind of treat you like a product. So I just didn't want to ever feel like I messed anything up because of my mental illness. And I always felt like that was always something that was so hard. It always kind of felt like like I had two weights, like, you know, two dumbbells, like heavy dumbbells on my shoulders at all times. So it's like when you do something, you know, you're getting ready to go on stage and then something happens or you have a panic attack and it just throws everything off, or you're depressed and you don't want to get out the house, but you have to. It's like your job, and like people don't care in the end of the day. Like everybody goes through this, right? So I feel like for me, I wanted just to write a song about that and just be open up, honest about it. And just, as I said, with the album is like accept my insecurity and be like, I'm scared, here's another insecurity, like not only am I jealous but I'm scared of going crazy and let me write a song about it. And you know, we kind of did a twist on it where it's like, it's not about love, it's about like life in general. Like nobody could ever break my heart as much as I've broken my own heart in the past, and the way that my mental illness has, and the nights and months and years I've spent stuck in my house scared to leave the house because I was so scared of everything. So it's very empowering in the sense of I was able to like, this is just who I am and this is a part of me and I'm not scared of it anymore. And yeah.
Thank you for going there with me. And thank you for going there with all of your fans. So I know you've been very open about this going back to, you know, for years with I'm Gonna Show You Crazy. I mean, that was from 2014,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I didn't know about I'm Gonna Show You Crazy.
And didn't the label fight you on that too? Not that I don't want to get anyone in trouble.
Much, but, it's,
oh no, so, yeah. Sorry. Sorry. This is a fan. This is me, the fan, coming out. I'm sorry.
I still have the same label. No, it's okay. You know what it was? It was just like, I think when I'm Gonna Show You Crazy came out, it was crazy because think about it. That was like 5 years before or like 6 years before like Logic came out with like the 1-800. So that was not okay to say that. Like it was not okay to say like, there's a war inside my head. Sometimes I wish that I was dead. I'm broken. And I'm gonna show you crazy. You wanna see Local Maniac? I'll show you. And it was like a kind of like an anthem to myself. People thought it was about love, but I was writing this anthem about mental illness. And I had put it out on Christmas Eve, and it was, Spotify was a new thing because I had gone to Sweden for a writing trip with my brother for 2 weeks, and I had met this older couple, and they were like, what are you two doing here? And I was like, oh, I'm a singer, I'm a musician. She's like, oh, what's your Spotify page? And it was like, what's that? Because we didn't even, nobody really had it here. Nobody knew what it was. And I had gone home to my manager. I said, I want to open a Spotify. And he's like, a Spotify? You mean he's like an account? I was like, yes. So the first song we put on Spotify was, yeah, I'm Gonna Show You Crazy. And we had literally put it out, had no push, nobody believed in it. And it still accumulated like, I don't know, 40 million streams, like with nothing, no push, nothing. Like, and I think it really spoke to people. I can't tell you the amount, because I did the Warped Tour, I can't tell you the amount of young girls, but young girls and their moms, or like guys and their dads, or like so many mothers have like cried on my shoulder being like, thank you so much. Like, this song has also helped me. I don't know, I guess it was, it's hard to deal with teenagers. I don't know. You know, but like it was very touching to me those times, because I was going through tough times too. And I felt like it was very therapeutic for me, because I didn't understand yet what I was going through. I just knew I didn't feel good. I wasn't receiving the help at that time. Like I was talking to a therapist and but I wasn't on medication, none of that. Like I was just feeling, that was my way of trying to put it out in a song of I'm Gonna Show You Crazy. But I had no idea like what I was really dealing with. I thought I just had like some anxiety or whatever.
I helped an awful lot of people by being so open about it. I know
so.
During this quarantine time, a lot of people are really hurting, especially people who aren't getting the help that they need with mental health. Do you have any advice for those people just to help keep them grounded?
Yeah, you know, I spoke to my therapist, and because in the beginning of quarantine, you could really get down on yourself, right? The first thing that she told me, which I shared on my Instagram, to try to make somewhat of a schedule for yourself. It's like when you wake up in the morning, even if it's like making yourself a coffee and then making your list for the, taking your shower, making a list for the day, doing a workout. But for me, what I find is that I have my routine. I wake up in the morning, I put my water on, like my French press on, I prepare my French press, I grind the beans. Like it's so extra, but it helps me like just, you know, the first 10 minutes.
It's like meditation. It's,
yeah, it's I walk my dog. You know, I feed my dog, and then I like go into a workout. Working out has helped me so much.
Oh, the mind-body connection's crazy. We need to talk more about that. It's so
even
cool.
If you can't find yourself, because like when you're really depressed, you're not feeling good, it's like you don't want to do anything. But even if it's like getting out of your bed and just doing like a stretch to touch your toes, like a 20-second stretch, just to like opening, like, you know, putting your hands up and like trying to stretch your back, just like stretching, moves the blood around so much and puts oxygen into your body. So that's like so important too. Simple things like that, or even just like being like, every morning I'm gonna wake up and the first thing that I drink is like a cup of water and like squeeze lemon or try to drink more water. Because what I'm learning too, I'm sorry, I'm getting like really crazy on this because I've been studying a lot and I actually love nutrition. What I'm learning is that everything, you know, when we drink coffee, we're constantly changing the way the chemicals work in our body. We like coffee because it releases a certain chemical and it makes us feel good. We like to eat chocolate because it releases a certain chemical. Working out to some people sucks, but afterwards, like, you feel so good. You're like, wow, I killed it. You feel like, so much hotter, right? It's the endorphins. So life is all about how we're constantly like manipulating our chemicals and doing small things like drinking more water or stretching or even putting on a nice candle that you love or painting. I started painting. I'm not good at all. No, I suck. I am so bad at painting. Bad.
That's so cool. What kind of abstract or landscapes?
What kind
of things
Christmas
do you paint?
Painting. It's so bad. It is so bad. Like, I think I threw it out. I was like, no, I can't. Honestly, like, I bet like a 4-year-old would paint better than me. I'm such a bad. For some reason, I will tell you, Jordan, like, I suck at drawing. Anything with drawing or paint, I'm not good at it. I can't. I always did.
You gotta save your first couple so that someday you can look back and see how far you've come, though.
I'm not good. I don't have patience. That's why I don't want to do, like, the whole layering, like, the right way to paint. You know what I mean?
I gotcha.
I love it, though. By the way, I bought his, I bought his set.
No.
Yeah,
way.
Like, how to do the trees and stuff like that. I, like watched, like, his, but I watched his YouTube videos. It came with a CD, but I don't have a CD player. I don't know where. I watched on YouTube and just, like, started watching how he paints it. I was like, oh, this is very therapeutic, like, listening to him talk.
Oh, yeah, it's total ASMR. That's, like,
I got
how
really crazy
I
during quarantine. I was like, I should buy an original Bob Ross painting.
I've looked. They're hard to find.
They're hard to find. They really are. Yeah. And now I'm like, what was I thinking? Like, why would I? I don't know, but he was awesome, though. Really chill. Really, really relaxing.
Oh, totally. Have you been writing a lot of music in the
last
couple months?
I'm actually sitting, like, you can see where I'm sitting. I'm sitting right next to my microphone, excuse me. So I have, like, this little couch in my room, and I just, like, sit in the corner or, like, at the corner of my, like, dining room table. I have my laptop set up, and I have my two little speakers. Like, I finished a lot of the album sitting on this couch without, like, a recording booth, no proper, like, anything. Just, like, two speakers, a microphone, and a pair of headphones.
It's a lot more personal and intimate. I mean, it's like recording right at home.
The vocals are not like perfectly like quiet and clean. But I'm like, you know, it just gives it like some type of like depth or whatever. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's so much more fun though. I think it's fun. It's fun doing sessions, but they're never as good as when you're in person. Like we do Zoom sessions now where there'll be like four people on Zoom. It's so hard because, like, you know, it cuts off. Somebody will be like, I have a nice song idea, and they'll be playing the guitar, and then I'll be singing something, and it's just never linked up. It's a nightmare. But it's fun, though, because, like, I could be like, guys, 1 second. And I can, like, walk to my kitchen and make myself, like, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, a cup of coffee, like, open up my fridge and, like, making the melody, like, cooking myself an omelet. I could do anything. I could, like, go to the bathroom, like, in my own house. It's, like, so awesome. You could be, like, your robe. You don't have to leave your house. It's awesome. I could write a song from my bed. It's so fun.
I saw that you shared your phone number with fans on social media, and have you been getting a lot of, what's the wildest thing anyone's texted you? Like PG-13 level, I should say. What's the, like, people told you anything crazy or?
Private parts. And I'm like, this is unacceptable. Okay. I had to like tweet about it. I was like, please everybody, please do not send me private parts. It's not right. Like, I don't like it.
I didn't even think of that until right when I was saying the question. I was like, oh no. Oh, yeah. I hope that's not the answer.
No, it's okay.
I'm sorry.
Like it was. Yeah, so people have been like, I try to text people and they're like, this is not you. And then I'm like, what's the point of me texting back if they don't even believe it's me? You know, I'm like, it's me. Hey, what's up? Like, it depends on how I feel. But when I go on, I'll usually tweet. Like, I'll go on and be like, hey guys, I'm going to go like text some people. But like, yeah, it's kind of hard to text everybody. So like, you could do like the mass texting if like you know what I mean? But I try to text as much as I can. If they're being nice, because some people are like, text me back, you stupid bitch.
Oh my God.
I swear. Everybody has their own techniques of trying to get attention, their attention, you know? Like, there's like the sweet fans, who I usually actually, just so people know, respond to or try to respond to, you know? I mean, like, it's what, like 20,000 text messages, like too much to respond to everybody. It's hard. Yeah. It's like impossible. So like, but I try to respond to like the nice messages that are like inspiring. But then some people are like really mean. They're like, this is not you, you stupid bitch. Like, I hope you die. Unless you respond, then you'll be okay. And I'm like, whoa. Legit. Yeah, I'm not joking. Yeah, ruthless.
Okay, so be nice. Hear that, everyone? It's really her. Stop being
nice. I'm not going to respond to mean ones. Never. No way.
There's something I want to ask you. I think I saw that you are learning how to drive. Do I have that right?
No, I got my license already.
Oh, you did? Okay. Wait, recently?
Right before quarantine. No, I got my license in December.
Oh my God.
No, December I got it. Like October, December. So, oh my God, it's been a year.
Oh my, well, congratulations. I just bought my first car in 10 years and I live in New York and I haven't driven in like 15 years and it's bad. So I wanted to see how it was going with you.
I would never drive in New York. I'd be so scared. I mean, I grew up in New York City and you don't need to drive. Like, I took the train. I grew up on Staten Island.
Right.
So I took the train, would come every 30 minutes. I would take the train. It was a 30-minute ride. It would drop you off to the ferry. Then the ferry was another 30 minutes. So that's about an hour. And then you could get off the ferry and you could walk to Bowling Green. And there's like the 4 or 5 train, or you could like walk to the 1 train, whatever. And that's how I would get to like school, work, whatever. Like, I would just take 2 trains and a boat, or 3 trains and a boat.
It's so cool to have a boat on your commute.
Oh gosh, no, it's so long. No, because like one time I was coming back home and it was like late at night from a studio session and I had found like a knife, like a pocket knife in the bathroom on the floor.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was creepy. It was hidden in like the toilet dispenser, like where the toilet paper is, but it was stuck. So I was like trying to open it. And then when I opened up, the knife fell out. I was like, oh my gosh.
Whoa.
Yes. Then they opened up the express bus, but that was like, at the time, like, it was $12 for a ride, and that was really expensive for me, so I tried to, like, do the ferry as much as I could at that time. The train ride was free.
I heard that, unfortunately, your parents contracted COVID. How have they been feeling now? I know this was a couple months ago. Are they feeling better?
Yeah, I think it really affected my mom a lot because, she'll probably kill me for saying, but she was really scared after, like, she was really, 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 really sick. To the point, she said it was like a weird thing where she got sick and then I would talk to her on FaceTime, but she wouldn't tell me because she didn't want to scare me. Because my dad had gotten it bad, my mom got it worse, but she got a little better and then she got worse. Like, it got really bad. But it was like this weird thing where she'd be like really sick for 3 days, a little bit better on the fourth day, really bad for day 6, 7, and 8, and then a little better and then really bad. But I remember like by week 2, like, she was just over it. Like, just laying in, could not even get out of bed to go to the bathroom. Like, she was just so sick. Yeah, we were trying to get her to the hospital, but she couldn't even get up. She's like, I just really can't. Like, just let me be here. And she was scared. And so after that, she was kind of really like, I think it really, really affected her. Like, she was so scared to leave the house, like paranoid, like scared. Like, I would be too, you know? But now she's finally like feels so much better from it. But I know a lot of people that, like, one of my friends whose dad got it, and she said it aged her father like 10 years. Like, it really, like, he had a little heart problem and it exacerbated it. It became like this huge thing, you know? So when people say it's not real, I'm like, no, it definitely is real. I've like, unfortunately, like, had it in my family. It was bad. Yeah, both of my parents. I was like, oh my gosh.
Well, you've said that one of the upsides of everybody being sort of stuck in their homes is you said you've actually felt closer to your family because you've been talking to them more.
Oh my gosh. I've been like, well, now we kind of stopped, but we were doing like Zoom sessions. It was so cute. 20 people like on a Zoom session.
Oh, so a whole extended family?
Oh,
that's
no,
so
not,
cool.
That's not extended, honey. That's my uncles. My mom, like, don't forget, I'm Albanian. So Albanian from New York City. So think about like a whole bunch of Europeans screaming at each other on the phone, but that's how we talk. How are you? Good? How's everything? Nice to see. Yes, you look great. Oh, you got a little fat there. Okay, BB, you got to lay off the banana bread, okay? And they're like, you know, just oh, thanks. Thank you, Uncle Bet. Like, you're so sweet. Thank you. So, like, upfront, New York City realness, European, like, just say it like it is. No filters. But I love them so much. My mom had, there are a total of 8 brothers and sisters, and my dad is a total of 7, and I have 32 first cousins just on my mom's side. That's not my second cousins. And I have another 30. So I have over like 60 something, almost 70 first cousins. But if you want to combine all my second cousins, we're going in the hundreds, like 100 and something.
That's so cool. I'm Sicilian, so I got a little bit of that, but that's a different level. That's so cool.
Oh, we're on some next level Albanian. Like, yeah, we have a wedding. Somebody says like 150 person wedding. I'm like, okay, so that's just my cousins and my aunts and uncles. So, yeah. So, you know, people say like small weddings, like, cause we have such big families, like you have to invite everybody because like everybody gets upset, you know? Yeah. One of my cousins got married and it was like 550 people. And that was like them like cutting the list. It was 1,000 and they had to cut it to 550. And that was like close family.
Take up too much more of your time, but my last question that I always like to end on, and it's so interesting to hear everybody's different answers. If you could snap your fingers and have everything go back to normal, whatever your definition of normal is, you know, this time last year, what would be the first thing that you would do? People you'd hug, places you'd go?
I would probably jump on a plane with my dog, book a ticket or whatever. And I would go back to New York, but I could do that now, but I would be a little bit more scared, you know? And I would probably go home to my parents, go to my favorite bakery in Staten Island, and have my favorite Italian rainbow cookies and like a good slice of, yeah, and a good slice of pizza.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
I would probably.
Wait, what's your favorite bakery? I gotta ask. I'm a big Italian bakery
fan. Crown Bakery. Have you been there?
Classic. Yes.
Amazing. Yes. Italian cookies. That's the one thing about LA is like, LA has incredible food, but the things they don't have amazing Italian desserts. Like, where is that at? I've been telling the guy from the bakery there, I was like, I'll put the money in just so the bakery could be near me so I could walk in there every day and just get the rainbow cookies or the raspberry filled butter cookies. Oh my God. Dipped in chocolate with the sprinkles. Kill me better. So amazing. But I would honestly get on a flight and I would love to just see my family and just go apple picking and just hug my mom and my dad and, you know, just with no worries, like, just, you know what I mean, like, no, you know, like, I could do that now, but I would be so scared and to be around them. I wouldn't want to, like, or my grandma, like, I wouldn't want to put them at risk, you know, just to be safe, you know. I don't want them to, God forbid, get it again or whatever, but I would just love to see my family, hug them, go apple picking and just feel the fall weather in New York. I miss the fall weather.
That is a wonderful answer, BBRXA. Thank you so much for your time. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Jordan.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Inside the Studio Home Edition, a production of iHeartRadio. For more episodes of Inside the Studio and other shows from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.